Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful moment. You are God, God Almighty, and we are Your children. We thank You, Lord, for giving us the grace to come into Thy presence and call Thee Father. We are so excited, Lord, that we can call You our Daddy, our Father, who puts His arms around us and holds us on His shoulders and carries us and hugs us in His arms and says, everything is going to be okay. Father, when we think of Thy love, when we understand Thy love, when we experience Thy love, we cannot imagine how much You love us, that unconditional love, that agape love. Heavenly Father, what will we give back in return for Thy love? You love us so much that You came down and gave Your life for us. You shed Your last drop of blood on the cross of Calvary and have prepared everything for our eternity. Father, we pray, Lord, as we come to Thy presence, that the voice of man will not be heard, but only the voice of Almighty God that speaks from His throne. Our Father, our only Father, our loving Father, our Heavenly Father, our true Father, we thank You, we praise You. For in Jesus' name we pray, Father, for all of us that are in Thy presence, including me, as we kneel down at Thy feet and wait for Thy precious word. For in Jesus Christ's name we pray, Heavenly Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us turn to John chapter 10, verse 35. Praise God. John chapter 10, verse 35. If He called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. So in John 10:35, we see two personalities. One is God Almighty, and the other is human beings. Now, these human beings are not just ordinary human beings, but those human beings to whom God sent His word. And Jesus Christ is telling the Jews, in the Old Testament, when God spoke to His prophets, when God spoke to kings, when God spoke to His servants, those human beings were called gods. So what Jesus is telling them is, if the ordinary human beings in the Old Testament, to whom God spoke, to whom the word of God was given, if they were called gods, why are you surprised because I said, I am the Son of God? And the Jews were surprised that Jesus Christ quoted that verse. And when I read this verse, I was thinking, what exactly is Jesus saying? And then it started dawning on me what exactly He was saying. A few days back, I woke up in the morning. I was very sick. I was very weak. I was tired. And I had fever. And I said, wait a minute. There's a big virus going around. I don't know what kind of a virus. It is a really bad virus. And so I took my Bible and I read it. And it said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So I read that verse again. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So what God was telling me is, physically, my son, you are weak, but my grace is sufficient for thee. I will strengthen you, so trust me and go to work in faith, and while you're going, you will be healed. If you trust the doctors and the people who test you for coronavirus, shouldn't you test me? Shouldn't you trust me? And then I said, Lord, really? I'm not supposed to go to work when I'm feverish. And the Lord said, go, I will heal you right now. And then I remembered in the Bible, before Jesus Christ healed someone, he said, get up and walk. There was this guy that was for over 30 years in the pool of Siloam. And Jesus asked him, do you want to be healed? And he said, yes, sir, I want to be healed. I've been here for over 30 years. And nobody healed me. There's an angel, they say, that comes into the pool once in a while. But I'm not fast enough to jump into the pool when the angel touches the water and I see the shake. So I've been here for 38 years. I'm not fast enough. There's nobody that can drop me in the pool when the angel shakes the water. And so I'm not healed. Jesus said, rise up, take up your bed and walk. And so I wondered if that guy had said, well, wait a minute, I've been here for 38 years. Why are you asking me? Why don't you heal me? After you heal me, I'll take up my bed and walk. Well, Jesus said, you first take up your bed and walk, and then the healing will start. Peter, John, and James went to the temple. There was a man, probably 30, 40 years, he was begging. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Well, the guy wanted to walk, but he didn't have the strength. So the Bible tells us that Peter lifted him up. He had the faith. And so when he got up and stood up, the Bible tells us his feet and ankles became strong and he was healed. And then he started leaping and jumping around. He was lame from his mother's womb. So what I found out from reading this verse is we may be ordinary human beings, but when we receive the word of God, the word of God comes into us and strengthens us. And when we believe the word of God, it is not just receiving the word of God, but when we believe the word of God, we become gods. Well, that sounds like blasphemy because Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Why does the scripture, why does the Bible call us gods? Because the word of God came. Well, we need to understand the meaning of the word gods. The meaning of the word gods is that we are supernatural beings. When God told Adam and Eve, the moment you eat of that fruit, you shall die. Did they die? Well, they didn't die in the flesh, but they died in the spirit. So man is first, when I say man, I'm saying man and woman. When man was created, he was not created as a physical person. He was created as a spiritual being. We are first spiritual beings, and then we are physical beings. So in the Garden of Eden, the physical body of Adam and Eve lived after they committed sin, but their spiritual body died, and therefore they could not have communion with God. That's why in the New Testament, God said, they that worship me shall worship me in spirit and in truth. God has given us a spirit so that in the spirit we can worship him. You know, there are animals, there are birds, they don't have a spirit, and they cannot physically worship God like we do. We worship God because we are spiritual beings. But actually what happened is we were also dead with Adam and Eve, but God raised us up through the blood of Jesus, through water baptism, and through the Holy Spirit baptism. God raised us up. And now we are spiritual beings. Now the word of God tells us that the word gods means that we are not just physical or spiritual beings, but we are supernatural beings. That is what the word gods means. When the word of God is given unto us and we receive it, when we carry the Holy Bible in our hands, the 66 books of the Bible, and we believe and obey and accept every word in that Bible from cover to cover, we are no more human beings, according to this verse in John 10:35. We become spiritual beings. We are supernatural beings. And that's what God told me. You're a supernatural person. Read John 10:35. Stop worrying about coronavirus. Lay hands on your own head and rebuke everything. And I got filled with the Spirit. I got into the car. And when I went through the gate, all the symptoms were gone. I went to work. There was no fever. It's been day two, and I'm perfectly fine. And hallelujah. And then I told the Lord, Lord, what if this was an attack of the enemy? And the Lord said, in the third quarter of this year, the enemy will attack you. But the vehicles with which he attacks you will all be overthrown and will become junk. And then I saw the enemy attacking me in the third quarter. And I saw all his vehicles. It was interesting. It looked like big, huge 13-wheelers. And they were all showing their backs towards me, and they were slamming the accelerator and running. It was just a vision that I had. And then maybe 50 yards from me, they all crashed and they became junk. And so God said, this is not what you experienced this morning is not an attack of the enemy. That attack that you asked about will come in the third quarter of this year. What you had is just a physical weakness. I have strengthened you by my grace. Stop thinking about it. Go to work in faith. Because you are a supernatural being unto whom the word of God came. So if God hadn't given me the word, I would have been like anyone else. And I would have said, oh, my family, I've got this virus thing. I'm going to die. You know, let me go ahead and see where I kept my paperwork. And let me say goodbye to the family, or go to the doctor, or do this or that. Now, going to the doctor and taking medicine is not fine. Is not wrong. It's okay. And I have been to the doctor and taken medicine when the Lord told me to go. There's been times when God said, I'm not going to heal you, my son. This one, I want you to go to the doctor and check out. There have been times when he said, no, don't go. I mean, if we ask the Lord, he's our daddy, he'll tell us what to do. This time he said, this is a test of faith. Go to work. Begin to understand that you're a supernatural being. Live in the supernatural, not in the flesh. And then he gave me this verse and said, if God called us gods because to us the word of God was given and the scripture cannot be broken, which means that God calls us supernatural beings. The Bible tells us that even though our body is walking on this earth, we are dwelling in spiritual heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We read again in the Word of God, John 15:19. If you were of this world, the world would love his own. But because you are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of the world hateth you. What does the Bible mean? The Bible is saying we are not of this world. Everybody else might be of this world, but we are not of this world. Well, if we are not of this world, then where are we from? God is saying we don't belong to this world. We belong to heaven. We are heavenly beings. We are spiritual beings. The Bible calls us supernatural beings, gods. That is what happened on that mountain. Everybody else freaked out. There were giants. History and archaeology tells us the giants were about 28 feet tall. Og, king of Bashan, history says, was 28 feet tall. The spies went to the land of Canaan. They saw Og, the king of Bashan. He was so tall that some of the clouds even went through his head. I mean, if you're on the top of the mountains, sometimes I felt the clouds go through my head. And it's because the mist is so low when you're at about 7,000, 8,000 feet. And they said, even the clouds were whizzing past them. These guys were tall like giants. They looked like mountains. There's no way that we can overcome them. Then what Caleb and Joshua were spiritual beings. The rest of them were physical people. A person that is a physical person, an ordinary human being, bases his decisions, bases his emotions, bases his thinking, his heartbeat, on what he sees with his eyes, what he hears with his ears, what he smells with his nose, and what he thinks with his 1 pound brain. A person that is a supernatural being unto whom the word of God came, a person who according to John 10:35 is called God's, a supernatural being, a spiritual being, a child of true child of Almighty God, does not think through his mind or through his eyes or through his ears. He thinks through the word of Almighty God. And that is why everybody said, David, David, your little boy, don't go. He'll just kill you. He'll cut your head off. He'll crush you, grind you to powder. What did David say? I don't care how big you are, Goliath. You might be 10 feet tall. You might be 800 pounds in weight. And you might have 30 years of battle experience. Your spear may be as big as the beam in the roof of the house. I don't care how big you are. You come to me with a flesh body and physical experience, battle experience and a sword. I come to thee with the word of Almighty God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and in the name of God, Jehovah, in the name of Jesus Christ. And that little stone that was smaller than the forehead of Goliath sunk into his forehead because of the word of God. Why was David so different? What happened? Because he prayed and asked the Lord, and the Lord said, you go, you take these stones, go take these 5 stones from this creek and slam the stone into his head just like you slammed it into the head of the lion and the bear. The word of the Lord made a difference in the life of David. We see Samson. We see Elijah, we see Elisha. I always get Elijah and Elisha mixed up. But Elisha was a servant of Elijah. And Elisha always focused on Elijah. Elijah told Elisha, Elisha, today God is going to take me alive into heaven. And Elisha said, really? Can I also come with you to heaven? Elijah said, no. That's not God's plan for you. You're going to continue the work of the Lord after I get taken up to heaven. Well, if I'm going to continue your work, I'm not satisfied with what you did. I want twice as much power of the Holy Spirit as God gave you, Elijah. Elijah said, really? You want twice as much power that God gave me? Yes, boss Elijah, that's exactly right. Elijah said, oh, you want twice the power that God gave me? Well, you have to keep your eyes on me. I don't know when I'm going to get taken up, but if you even wink your eye and that moment the horses and chariots of fire come down and take me into heaven, then your wish will not be granted. Poor Elisha's eyes were red. I don't think he even winked his eye. He kept his eyes on Elijah. Suddenly the horses and chariots of fire came. Elijah was caught up in those horses and chariots of fire and went straight to heaven alive. Enoch went alive. Elijah went alive in the Old Testament. And Elisha cried up saying, "Hey, where's your word? You said if I kept looking at you, you would give me a double portion of your power, the power that God gave you. That was the word of the Lord." And the mantle of Elijah fell from the horses and chariots of fire. And Elijah caught it. And he took that mantle and he struck the flowing river of Jordan and said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And Jordan split in two. And he and the sons of the prophets walked through River Jordan. Nobody can even drop their feet for a few minutes because River Jordan flows so fast, it will push them off and drown them. Elisha, when he died in the Lord and they buried Elisha, one of the greatest prophets in Israel. There was a man who was murdered, and the thieves murdered this guy and threw his dead body on the grave of Elisha. Elisha was dead and gone home to be with the Lord. There was a mound that represented the grave of Elisha. But when the thieves murdered this body and man and threw his body accidentally on Elisha's grave, the man came back to life. The power of God, the double power of Elijah in the Spirit of the Lord that was in Elisha was in the dead body of Elisha even when he was dead. That is the difference between an ordinary human being and those who are called gods, who are supernatural beings. Dear children of God, we are not ordinary human beings. We are children of Almighty God. We are children of God Almighty that created the heavens and the earth and has power over nature. Jesus was sleeping in the boat when the storm was howling. We might say, why would Jesus sleep in the storm when disciples are about to die? Well, Jesus wanted to teach his disciples that they had power over the storm. So when the storm came, Jesus slept. He wanted his disciples to understand that they had the same power that Jesus had because they were his disciples. Well, they didn't understand. So we have the power, the same power that God gave Jesus Christ dwells in us because the same Holy Spirit that dwelt in Jesus dwells in us. Now, if we understand and realize that we have that power, then the power of Jesus will work in us. Because the book of Ephesians says, Apostle Paul is praying, "I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you may know that the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you." When Jesus was in heaven and he rose up, he said, "Behold, I and the children that God has given me." Now, here is this greatest verse that Jesus spoke. John 14:12. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the same works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." So the question Jesus said, after I am resurrected and go and sit on the right hand of God the Father, my disciples will do greater works than what I have done. Is that prophecy true? Has it actually happened? Of course it has. Let's look at Peter. He denied Jesus Christ because he was terrified. "Oh no, you were with Jesus, right?" "Oh, absolutely not. That wasn't me." "Well, then who was it?" "I don't have a clue. It wasn't me. That's all I can tell you." "Are you sure? Because your accent is just like the accent of Jesus. You kind of look like Jesus too." "Oh, don't worry. It wasn't me. I think you're having some hallucinations." And then the cock crew. When they crucified Jesus, Peter was the first one to run. He ran into his home, shut the door tight, and said, Don't ever open the door if anyone knocks. And so when Jesus rose from the dead, he had to explicitly say, go tell my disciples and Peter. Because if he told the women, the sisters, go tell my disciples that I'm risen from the dead and that I want to see them, Peter would have said, yeah, that's for his disciples. I am a traitor. I denied Jesus 3 times. I'm not his disciple. But Jesus said, go tell my disciples and Peter. Was this the same Peter who was a terrified, fearful chicken that ran for his life? Is that the same guy filled with the Holy Spirit standing before 3,000 men and preaching Jesus Christ? Is it the same Peter that told the lame man, silver and gold have I none, rise up and walk? Is it the same Peter that raised up this lame man and then 5,000 people followed him? Is it the same Peter that walked on the streets of Jerusalem and anyone that touched his shadow, they didn't even touch Peter. When the shadow of Peter crossed the sidewalk, people that had demons were healed. People that were sick were healed. The dead came back to life. That didn't happen when Jesus was alive on this earth. But Jesus was alive in the body of Peter. So Peter became a supernatural being, a God, because God's life came into him. Jesus Christ is the only true God, Almighty God. But the word gods stands for supernatural beings. We are not gods. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they alone are God. They are worthy of worship. But that's how the Bible has been translated to denote a supernatural beings. That might be an error in English, but that's how the translation is. But the focus of the message is for us to understand that the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost and the true believers in the Church of the Living God are one with God. They have blended with God. They have blended with the Blessed Trinity, and they have become one with Him. When Jesus wrote our names in the Book of Life as His children, we translated from natural into supernatural. I remember when my family was back home, my wife wrote to me saying, it's really hot. Rachel has heat sores all over her body. It is so hot, no rain, no drought. Please pray that it will rain. So I got up early in the morning at 5 o'clock and said, Lord, please send rain where my wife and my family, my kids are there. It's so hot, Lord. And God said, why don't you command that it rain? I said, excuse me, Lord. I was praying that you would cause it to rain where my wife and kids are vacationing. You command it to rain. Lord, are you serious? You're asking me to command to rain? And he said, do what I told you, my child. Command that it rain. I said, where in the Bible, Lord, does it say that? He said, well, it says that in the Old Testament. Ask of me concerning things to come, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Now believe my word and command. And so I raised my hands and I commanded that it rain where my wife and children were. And she wrote back in the afternoon saying, thank you for your prayers. It rained so much and it almost flooded. And there was no weather forecast. Thank God. I remember a pastor once told me his kids that were about 7 and 8 years old. It was a bright sunny day. And they had an umbrella over their head. And the pastor said, hey, wait a minute, girls. There's no weather forecast. It's not going to rain. Look, there's not even a cloud in the sky. Why are you holding that umbrella? And the little kids, 7 and 8, the boy and the girl said, well, Jesus told us it's going to rain. I know he did, honey, but there's no weather forecast. It's a bright sunny day. I don't think it's going to rain. No, daddy, it is going to rain because Jesus told us it's going to rain. Well, the pastor said, okay, whatever. And then he turned around and walked back into the house. And suddenly he heard some sound. And he looked back, and there was a cloud, a black cloud just for his 7 and 8 year old. And that black cloud came over the two kids, and it drenched them with water. It rained. And the kid said, "Daddy, I told you. Jesus told me it's going to rain. See, I told you." And then, again, last year, my wife and kids again went for vacation. This is a beautiful place, just like Alaska. But their sister lives out in the remote wild place. There is no city. It's up in the mountains. They have a big water tank on the roof of the house. If it doesn't rain, they will all die. There won't be any water to drink, no water to bathe. And she said, "It's been over 2 weeks. We're getting down to the last few drops. If it doesn't rain, we have to leave this place because we cannot live. And there's 1 month more of our vacation." So I prayed to the Lord next again and said, "Lord, please let it rain." Well, this time he didn't tell me to command. He said, "Keep praying." And then my wife wrote to me the next day saying, "Well, just please pray that it will stop because it's raining so bad. The tank is full. The big creek is flooding." And I said, "Oh, Lord, I forgot to pray for it to stop." So I said, "Lord, please stop the rain because they've had enough." And he sent me a video of the creek overflowing so fast. So God is our Heavenly Father. He hears our prayer. We are supernatural beings. There is this COVID-19 COVID virus all over the world, all around us. So what? We pray for the people that are fearful. We encourage them. We send the message of hope to this world. Peace on earth, goodwill among men. Glory to God in the highest. Why does a virus become powerful? Because the people of this world forgot to praise God, who is all powerful. When we forget to give glory to God Almighty, who is powerful, then a little bitty virus becomes powerful. But we are children of Almighty God. We do not have to fear. The Bible says 365 times, "Fear not." We became supernatural because we are not separate from God, but one with God. We may look like others, but we are not the same as others. We are children of God, meaning God's authority and power is invested in us. Therefore, we are not limited to what we can pray. Now, we have a choice to either live in the physical dimension of this world, or we have a choice to live in the spiritual dimension. In order to live in the spiritual dimension, our eyes have to be focused on Jesus Christ. We need to receive our news, our information, the message from Jesus Christ, not from this world. If this world is our focus, we will live in the natural dimension. If Jesus is our focus, we will live in the spiritual dimension. Now we know that we cannot see Jesus physically. However, we have his Holy Bible in our hands. So when we need a solution, we need to open the Bible. Like, I was wondering, what's happening? Am I getting this virus? And I opened the Bible and it said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." The Holy Spirit is more powerful than any virus. By the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. In the natural dimension, we are limited, but there is no limit to what we can do for Jesus when we are in the spiritual dimension. Now, the focus of this is the Word of God that translates us into gods, that translates us into spiritual beings, that makes us children of Almighty God, part of the royal family. So is it just the word? Is it just some word? We have Hindu scriptures. We have Quran. We have Buddhist scriptures. When people read them, why don't they get transformed and become spiritual beings and gods? See, the problem is we will become what we focus on. Now, I'm not putting everyone else down, but here is a historical fact. Muhammad is dead. His body is in a tomb. And, you know, they open it certain times and they can see his body. But the point is, the body of Muhammad has undergone corruption and it is in a coffin. The body of Buddha has undergone corruption. It's in a grave. The body of the Hindu deities have undergone corruption and they are in a coffin. So if you read the word of someone that was dead and has undergone corruption, you are also going to become corrupt like them, and your body is going to mingle with the dust of this world, and that's your end. There is no more hope. There is no more future. However, the only person in the Bible whose body did not get corrupted and was taken up to heaven in a transformed body was Jesus Christ, God Almighty. He is the incorruptible God, God Almighty, the creator of the world. So that's the difference between the Holy Bible and all other books. Some people that wrote other books are human beings. Some people that wrote books are dead, corrupted. But Jesus Christ that wrote the Holy Bible is alive. He is immortal God. He exists forever and ever, and he is God. Therefore, when we read his word, we become like him. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory unto glory. When we read the Holy Bible, it's not just the word of God. The word of God transforms us into the image of Jesus Christ. In other words, God took Jesus and split him into the 66 books of the Bible and gave it to us. All the Bible, entire Bible, is Jesus Christ. The Word of God transforms us into supernatural beings. The other 11 disciples in the boat only saw the storm in the sea. But Peter, the 12th disciple, saw Jesus walking in the sea in the midst of the storm. So he said to Jesus, if you tell me to walk on the storm, if I hear your word, Lord Jesus, I can also walk on the storm. Jesus said, come. Jesus didn't tell the other 11 disciples to come. They weren't interested in walking on the water. They were terrified by the storm. Their blood pressure was 275 by 195. Their heart was about to stop because they were so terrified. Not Peter. He said, well, if Jesus can walk on the storm and he tells me by his word to walk on the storm, I am going to walk on the storm. Jesus said, come, and he jumped out of the boat. He walked on the water. Don't worry about the fact that he sank and Jesus pulled him up. Peter learned to walk on the water after Jesus got him up. Peter found out that if he focused on the word of Almighty God, and if he focused on the word that is Jesus Christ, then he will become like Jesus. So what did Peter do? He began to realize that as long as he kept his focus on Jesus, as long as he walked in the word of Jesus, and as long as he listened to Jesus and fellowshiped with Jesus, he will be like Jesus. So he held the hands of Jesus. He wouldn't take his eyes off Jesus. He kept on listening to Jesus. He forgot the noise of the storm. He tuned out of this world and he tuned in to Jesus. Both Jesus and Peter walked on the water and they entered the boat. And as soon as they entered into the boat, the storm ended. The other 11 skeptics in the boat became real believers. We have come to the 21st century. Jesus Christ is coming soon. His rapture can take place any moment. The trumpet will sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall all be changed. But before the rapture, we have work to do. The world is not looking for psychology, philosophy, anthropology or history or mathematics or science or something else. There's plenty of people that do that. And it's nothing wrong about that, that's science. The world is looking for someone who has the word of God. So the Lord spoke to me and said, because I was speaking to him and said, Lord, look at the world. The world is in pretty bad shape. Why don't you perform, use your church to perform some signs and wonders and mighty miracles so the people will see and come and believe you? And Jesus said, that's not the way I operate. I said, Lord, so could you explain this to me a little more? And God said, open the book of Genesis, first chapter. The world was without form and void, and was darkness on the face of the deep. So what changed the situation, my child? I said, your word, Lord, you said, let there be light, and there was light. And what changed the situation when Joshua was fighting against the Canaanites, the entire world? I said, he spoke to you, he prayed to you, and you told him to command the sun and the moon and the stars. Well, actually the sun and the moon. And he said, stop. And the sun and the moon stopped. He said, that word of man, because it was what I told him to do, it was really the word of God. And it's written in the Holy Bible. And my word has to be preached unadulterated. My pure word has to be preached. Stop being concerned about miracles and signs and wonders. John the Baptist did no miracle. The most important thing for this world to come back to God, for all those chosen sheep to come back to God, is that the word will be preached. You preach my word. Don't worry about anything else. The signs and wonders will follow. Because when they, disciples, preach the word, God sends signs and wonders to confirm the word. Your duty, my child, my servant, is to preach my word. And my word will transform people. My word will translate people from being physical, natural, to supernatural. My word will transform people to become like Jesus Christ. But we all with open faith, beholding as in a glass, the word of Almighty God will be changed into the same image from glory to glory. Elijah was a man, but God's word came to him. He never died. He went up to heaven in chariots and horses of fire. Enoch was walking with God. Every day, one evening when he walked with God, God said, Enoch, we are not going home. And Enoch and God walked into heaven. That day is coming soon. We are not natural. We are supernatural. Let us stay consistently in the word of Almighty God. Let us preach the unadulterated word of God. We're not going to be going around, you know, chasing demons and wiping out the economy of the funeral homes. Our duty is to preach the word of God, and God will confirm the word by signs and wonders, and he will do the miracles. And even when we see the miracles happening, fire coming down from heaven, mighty things happening, our focus should be on the word of Almighty God. Because the Bible says, a foolish man built his house on the sand, a wise man built his house on the rock, and that rock is the word of God, and that word of God is Jesus Christ, the eternal word of God, Almighty God. And that is why the Bible says, John 10:35, if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. This word that we are preaching, this word that we carry, transforms us into the image of Christ. Let us focus on the word. Let us stay in the word. And we will be able to bring this world back to God. Not by our power, not by signs and wonders, not by our strength, but by the word of Almighty God. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And by the word of Almighty God, as Hebrews says, by the word of Almighty God, everything was created. Everything was created out of nothing. There was nothing, zilch, one time back in eternity. And God spoke His word. He brought the Milky Way into existence through His word. He brought all the galaxies into existence through His word. The entire universe was spoken into existence. There was no Big Bang theory. God spoke the word and they came into existence by the word of Almighty God. And so the world is in crisis because the word of God has not been respected, because the framework for this universe is the word of God, according to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And when the framework is shattered, the universe will be shattered. But that will not happen. We will not allow that to happen. We are going to preach the word of God. We may be just a handful of people. Who cares? It's the word of Almighty God. It is God who is at work. We will preach the word. We will shout the word. We will share the word. We will keep on preaching the word, because the fastest element in the universe is not light. The scientists say the speed of light is the fastest. Nope. The word of God is the fastest in the universe. That is written in the Holy Bible. It transforms, it resurrects. It is the Almighty Word of God. God told Prophet Ezekiel, speak to the bones. Today we are speaking to the bones, we are speaking to the shattered, we are speaking to the sick. It is the Word of Almighty God that transforms us, empowers us, strengthens us, gives hope to those who are fearful. Let us tell them, here is the Word of God. Do not be afraid of this virus. Do not be afraid of economy. Do not be afraid of anything. The young lions will lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want anything. Even if there's no food in this world, God will rain manna from heaven. Even if there's no water in this world, God will break the rock and He will give us water. God will be a shelter for us. He's our refuge and strength. He's our Father. Thank you, Daddy. May God bless these words and strengthen us.